A bit of botany will help. Matthew uses the term Zizania, which in botanical terms refers to the genus of wild rice grasses. What he most likely refers to, however, is something called darnel or darnel, sometimes referred to as tares or cockle. It's a noxious weed that closely resembles wheat, and it was plentiful in Egypt, in Israel. The difference between darnel and real wheat is evident only when the plants mature and the ears appear. The ears of real wheat are heavy and will droop, while the ears of the darnel stand up straight. So the question that occurs to me straight away after I heard the parable is, am I a weed or am I wheat? Now, I don't think I've ever met anybody who's truly evil. Met some nasty ones. I met a few selfish ones. Worked for them. It's comforting to know some of the parables of Jesus aren't meant to be that closely analysed. They were offered at the time with a single purpose and had to be obtuse deliberately in case the spies or the Pharisees or someone was around. And this is one of those. The comparison of people being wheat or weeds is too simple. It's dualism. And it doesn't add up when we apply it to complex human situations. And Jesus also makes clear what we simply cannot be certain of: who is in or who is out. In fact, God's judgment about these matters will take a lot of people by surprise. Okay, another question that brought up to me was, who amongst us has not asked, or even been asked the question, why God allows evil to grow and thrive? I mean, who of us hasn't wanted to take matters into their own hands and root out the evil around us? Knock off Putin? Ban all carbon-emitting devices? For example, if I was made king of the world, I've thought about this. The first thing I would do is make it totally illegal for people to sit in their cars with their blinkers on, waiting for while people load their cars in the shopping centre. I'm told that's a man thing. But that's probably a good enough reason not to make any one person king of the world. Thank God it's not up to us. We don't have to judge, and indeed, we're told not to. We can leave the weeding to the angels and get on with the mission that Jesus has given us, which is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God drawing near. The parable warns us that now is not the time to be presuming to know all the outcomes. It's the angels, not human beings, who are authorized to pluck out the wheat from the weed. As a community, we'll live alongside with the weeds for whatever or whomever they are. We coexist until the harvest, until the end of the age. In the judgment, the Son of Man divides the righteous from all causes of sin and all evildoers. And I think he had the Jerusalem-based leaders in the gun with that one. Burns the weeds, and the righteous enjoy an existence marked by light and life in God's saving presence. Now that would have given a lot of hope to the struggling masses that Jesus was trying to reach, given the impression that they suffered, not only by the Romans, but by their own religious leaders. The parable ends with an appeal to work out what Jesus meant and to live appropriately in the here and now. Getting back to the question, am I weedy or am I wheaty? I think maybe we're both. I know, personally, I feel a lot like a weed a lot of the time. And I'm sure we can all relate to that. But we are children of God. When we read Romans, in Romans 15, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back in the fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption, When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. In the parable, Jesus said, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And that's the link we hold on to. That's the hope. We are the wheat, united in the Spirit as we pray, as we sing, as we serve, and live out our lives, mindful of how Christ saves us and leads us. We don't earn our way into the kingdom, neither do we reason our way in. We simply trust and follow. But there's more. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. In verse 19, Paul said, the creation waits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Now he tells us that the revealing will be a birth. Creation's discomfort is not the result of the death pangs, as some would have us believe, but of birth pangs. Its longing and groaning are hopeful signs and not reasons for despair. Believers are being saved not from creation, but with creation. The sonship they are privileged to share in some sense with Christ, they in turn share in some sense with creation. The tension now for us is between the world as it is compared with the way we want it to be. It's what Paul was trying to describe as a feeling of looking down the road and waiting for someone to come. Waiting and waiting and waiting, and you're craning your neck and looking and still not coming. That's how we are. But for now, we're stuck in a very imperfect and suffering world with some very imperfect and sometimes insufferable people. None of you. The message today is to take heart. Jesus has promised a perfect resolution. And we can expect not only the salvation of us as his children through the Spirit, but also a recreation of creation itself. How that happens is beyond me and all of us. Thankfully, we don't need to know, just need to follow Jesus.